I'm Mikey, and I get the privilege today to speak to all of you of living a life of abundant joy. If we could pull up on the screens, Romans 15, verses 13. Will, quick little testimony. It's kind of funny that I'm up here preaching about joy. When I had a really rough week, and there was a lot of things coming my way to try to take away my joy, but you know, God turns around all things for the good of those that love him and are called according to his will. So what it was is me getting tested to make sure that what I preach this weekend was true. So praise God for that. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's Romans 15, verse 13. Now the base word for joy is mentioned in the Bible around 165 times for the King James Version and between 214 and 245 times for the New International Version, with related forms like rejoice and joyful adding hundreds more. The book of Psalms accounts for about one quarter of all joy references in Scripture. For example, Psalms 16:11, you make known to me the path of life, you will fill me with joy in your presence with the eternal pleasures of your right hand. And Psalm 63, verse 5-8. You satisfy me more than the richest feasts. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night, because you are my helper, and I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings, and many more. So the definition of joy, according to scriptures, is a deep and unshakable inner gladness and delight that surpasses your circumstances. Divine joy is rooted in your relationship with Christ. And this joy that we feel isn't obtained through riches, material things, or people, because those things will pass and let us down. Although spending time with other joyful believers are a part of it, it comes from the closeness and intimacy with our Creator that only He can properly provide. So the difference between joy and happiness is that joy runs deeper, lasts longer, with deep roots, whereas happiness can change quickly based on your current circumstances. And in Galatians 5, Paul is writing to the church in Galatia. He mentions in verse 22 the fruit of the Spirit, and the second fruit mentioned is joy. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. And in 23, it mentions the last two fruit of the Spirit. So having joy is an example of the evidence of a Spirit-filled believer. This joy we feel should be an outward expression of the love we feel to and from God. The reason why Paul mentions joy second is because this joy comes from the love of God, and all the fruit of the Spirit originates from that love. I'd like to point out that a grumpy Christian is an oxymoron. It's like jumbo shrimp or bittersweet. We should be joyful in all circumstances, suited to the circumstances. However, when there is a time to mourn, we should mourn, but that's a discussion for another time. In John 10:10, Jesus contrasts the destructive nature of the evil one, whereas Jesus comes to give a life of abundance to his followers, and this abundance includes having abundant joy. When I first got saved, like some people here who got saved later in life, I was dealing with a lot of external forces that was taking away a lot of my joy, my peace, and the life that I had built. But that life was built on the wrong foundation, and as time went on, and as I ran to Jesus as fast as I could, that guilt, shame, and anger that I felt started to leave. And I realized that my past didn't define me anymore, but what I did, my future could, as my identity was rooted in Christ. And because of him, I became a new creation, and he could change my past and give me a more joyful future. And he could do that for all of us, no matter what the circumstances is. The enemy was trying to take away my joy. He wanted me to stay in bondage and the destructive life that I was in. Now, some of you know my testimony. Others don't. But I was an alcoholic and a drug addict for most of my teen years, in my 20s, and being under the influence of these things made me do some really dumb things. But again, that doesn't define who I am. As I mentioned, my identity is in Christ. Now, I'm sure there's some folks here who are dealing with similar circumstances in difficult times, and if I can offer some advice and wisdom, because in James 1, verses 2-4, the writer tells us to consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So don't give up on Jesus. Don't give up on the church. Keep running to him. Keep reading your Bible. It gets better and it gets easier. Make sure you are surrounding yourself with people who have deep Christian roots that can look out for you and pray for you, because bad company corrupts good morals, which will lead you to you losing your joy. I remember one of my birthdays, I think maybe 26, 27, I was somewhere around there. I was sitting at my apartment with some friends, drinking and doing other things and just being loud and obnoxious, laughing, and what we thought was having fun. I remember saying out loud, how can those sober people and all those Christians have any fun at all? The thought of having fun and being joyful without substances, I couldn't fathom. It seemed so weird to me. I couldn't grasp the concept of it at all, because all I saw growing up and what I experienced was booze and drugs equals good times. I was at family life group one time, we were all just laughing, making jokes, being loud and obnoxious, and having so much fun. And I remember the Spirit reminded me of that time that I just mentioned in my apartment, and he said to me, this is how they have fun. It's because I am here with them, and I am the reason. And it blew my mind, because where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst of us. So praise God for that. Amen. So the joy we all felt was being together with Christ at the helm. So church, in order to have abundant joy, we need to surround ourselves with good Spirit-filled people. And if I may do a bit of a plug here, if you aren't part of a life group already, you should get one or join one and get some support. Reach out. You won't regret it. So another way to have abundant joy is in your workplace. In Colossians 3, verse 23, it says, whatever you do, work at it for the Lord and not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Now, some of you who serve on the welcome team might recognize that verse. What this verse is telling us in the most simple form is to do your best, work for God, and look for God's reward. Now, how do we do our best? We could start by showing up on time, ready for the day, with a smile on our face and an attitude that says, this is the day that the Lord has brought, and I will rejoice. It's important to cultivate a mindset that work isn't a bad thing. It is a gift from God that gives us the ability to provide for our family, to buy the things we want, and to explore the world that He created for us to enjoy. If you show up late, dragging your feet, and complaining about this and that and everything in between, not only are you setting yourself up for a long day, but that mentality will also drag down your coworkers. And if you are an employer, you set the example for your employees. So treat them with respect. Don't be harsh or rude towards them, especially to the ones who are already believers. As Paul mentions in Galatians 6, verse 10, to do good to all people, especially to those who are in the faith. What Paul is saying in Colossians 3 is that you should work wholeheartedly with energy and enthusiasm, as he also mentions in Ephesians 6, verse 7. It's easy to have a half-hearted attempt when you have the mentality that you are working to make somebody else rich, or if you think that work is a bad thing, or whatever your excuse might be. But God is everywhere we are, and by just allowing the Spirit to work through you could lead to a blessing or a promotion or a better opportunity elsewhere. God is sovereign in all things, and He can choreograph a better opportunity because of you working for Him. It says that whatever you do, do work at it with your whole heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters. Tell yourself that you are working for God and not your earthly boss. Use your job as an act of worship to Him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Pray to God to give you the ability to truly and wholeheartedly work for Him. And if you feel like your employers are being mean or harsh, pray and ask God to soften their hearts. Ask Him to give you the strength to do the work that He's called you to do. We are called to be the light of the world. And in Matthew 5, verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So this means that we need to talk and walk with the love and grace of Christ to show the world the joy that we feel inside, even in our workplace. And at the end of this verse, Paul talks about a reward or inheritance from God for the good work that we've done. Also, just in general, try to find the little things that can give you joy. Like, for example, I work at a tire shop, and it can be pretty ruthless work at times, but my boss came in one morning with a big smile on his face, super joyful. I was like, what's your deal, man? And he's like, for 30 years, I was looking for the perfect toothbrush, and I finally found it. He goes on to talk and describe why this toothbrush was the perfect brush and all this stuff. And it kind of made me laugh, but appreciate why he was so full of joy. It was because he had the ability to find the little things in life that gave him joy, like a toothbrush. That's just a little example, but we'll get back on track here. Now, I'm aware that sometimes at work, we have difficult people that we have to work with, but here's some scripture that can help us deal with this situation. First, as many of you heard, that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, and having to be in the world and going out as sheep among wolves and work with non-believers subjects us to people who may be under spiritual control. So in order to de-escalate the conflict and to hold on to your joy at work, in Proverbs 15, verse 1, it says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." What this verse is saying is instead of saying something that can make the situation worse, to speak in a calm and peaceful manner, to not trigger the other person, to use words that do not come off combating, there's a possibility that the person you are dealing with has their own issues in life, and the better you handle the situation, the more likely you will be able to tell them about the gospel and what Jesus can do. And I used to be somebody who was really, really good at making situations worse, but because Jesus has filled me with joy and his love, I've gotten so much better at this, like miles better. I could go on and on and on about all the terrible things that I've said to make situations worse, but we do not have time today for that. I understand that this may be easier said than done. I've worked in mechanic shops, done carpentry, and even a school, and no matter where you go, there could be toxic people, especially if the ones you are working for are operated by non-Christians. But when you are full of joy and don't fight fire with fire or seek revenge, we have the ability to change our work environment and turn it into a more peaceful and productive place. So let your light shine and let the joy of the Lord fill that place. Pray for your workplace and God will do the rest. And this will lead you to abundant joy in your workplace. So praise God for that. I'd like to briefly talk about giving. I won't go too far into this today because I'm sure somebody might mention this when he preaches about generosity. But in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, it says, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." And I'd like to point out that joyful and cheerful are two closely related things. When we give and tithe here at the church or just in general, we should make sure we are not giving out of a religious act under compulsion or like we are being forced to. Nobody here is being forced to give. We should give what we feel in our hearts to give. The Bible does say to give 10%, and that's a great place to start. But try to find a way to give what you can. If 10% doesn't work at this time, look at your finances, where you can make cuts, and work your way up to 10% or more. If you could afford to smoke or drink, you could afford to give and tithe. Just saying. God knows your heart and he knows your circumstances, but joyfully give with a smile because you're giving back to his kingdom. When we give freely and joyfully, we mirror the heart of God who gives to us so abundantly. And this kind of giving brings a unique joy that material possessions or personal achievements can never ever provide. So I'd like to thank you all for the opportunity to be up here today and to talk about the things of joy that God placed in my heart for this weekend. So we talked about having joy in our workplace, being a light there, and letting the joy of the Lord fill that place through you, about joyfully giving, and we talked about surrounding ourselves with joyful, Christ-led people. A bit about not letting your past take away your joy. And as I begin to wrap up, I'd like to just mention that being joyful shouldn't be a thing that you have to fake it till you make it. We have a God that loves us, that sent his son to die for us, so we fix our eyes on him, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him as he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The sacrifice he made for us, when he died, he knew every single one of us here. Now, I don't know about you guys, but that gives me tremendous, tremendous joy. He calls us by name. He knows every single one of us, everyone here. Times may be hard. Things might be not going the way that we expect them to go, or your life might be great. It doesn't matter, but with that joy, we can endure anything. Not by our own strength, but the joy of the Lord is our strength. Not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. Not by our own wit or intellect or anything like that, but by his grace, by his strength and the power, we will have the most joyful life with victory and blessing and most certainly love. So when the enemy is trying to take away your joy because of something shameful that you've done, remember that in Romans 8, verse 1, it says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We belong to him and we are all forgiven. When the enemy sends his agents to destroy our joy, remember that the final charge for us living an abundant life of joy comes from Romans 12, verse 12. It says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, we will rejoice in the hope that we have, knowing that our life is in Christ's hands and our current circumstances aren't permanent, as there is a season for everything. We will be patient during hard times, again, because God is sovereign and these things are only temporary. We will stand firm and be brave during these times where our joy is fading and reminding ourselves of who is in control. And finally, we pray. Prayer is an important part of our walk. So that being said, I'll close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to come up here. I thank you for your goodness and your blessing. I thank you for even the things that I've gone through, because the things that I've gone through brought me to you. And I thank you that you are our joy, Lord. And I just pray that every person here got something from my message, Lord, that that they will leave this place feeling encouraged and joyful, and that your spirit is with them all. It's in your name I pray. Amen.